Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us engage in meaningful discussion. Allow us to grow closer as a group and nurture the bonds of community. Fill us with your grace as we make decisions that affect the students, staff, faculty, alumni, and friends of this college. Inspire us to solve the challenges we may face and to take joy in our shared triumphs. In your name, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Prouty, do we have any public comment?
We do not, sir.
Thank you. We have no speakers intending to make public comment to the board, so we can move to the next agenda item and cross over to Crookstone. You're up to the president.
All right, thank you, Chairman. You have my report before you, but two things that happened in the last week or so, which we have a lot to be proud about, is that the governor and his team did choose to do their press conference at the State College of Florida today. And in his comments, gave a wonderful shout out to the Florida College system and what we've done in terms of the CDL drivers. And the State College of Florida certainly has taken the lead on that one, and what we've been able to do to be responsive to the demand for nurses in our community, too. So that was really a special treat to have the governor's staff here. As with those things, for those of you who may be aware, they come together very quickly with very little notice. So a lot of thank yous to our facility folks, our folks in public safety, who responded very quickly and brought it all together, even when we were told that this wasn't something we could share. With anybody, we had to keep it under wraps until the governor decided that he was going to send out the invitation. So I am sorry I didn't get to everybody and tell you that this is happening, but we were asked to keep it quiet and let him do the invitations. But we're very proud to have that here today. Also, we're very proud that we were selected. I think we're the first time ever that the Florida College system chose to hold their annual music symposium, which is where the best of the best come together, and we identify the best individual performers and group performers from music programs across the state. They held it here at the State College of Florida this past weekend, put on a number of concerts for the community to come to, and we're just really very proud that they chose our facility to come to. They came, they took a look, and really appreciated what we've been able to do with our Neal Performing Arts Center, with our Black Box Theater, and with our Studio for the Performing Arts, being able to accommodate that kind of an event. So good for us. Well done, everybody who was involved and made these things happen for our college. That's what I wanted to report, but I want to spend the most of our time listening to Dr. Nielsen and our special guest, our athletic director, sharing some information about athletics. Dr. Nielsen.
Thank you. Right, I'd like to invite Nick Cicciello with our interim athletic director, and then our athletes, if you don't mind standing, too. We have our athletic posters for all of our trustee members. They're grabbing them right now. And we would love to, so we have starting right there, and go right around. These are trustees. Yep.
Thank you. Very cool.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Nice.
Yes.
Good looking stuff.
Thank you so much. Dr. P. Whoa, science. Thank you. Wow.
Very nice.
Thank you.
You shorted me one, but I promise you we'll get you one.
Okay. Some of them are hot off the press this evening.
Wow.
Nice.
And they're science.
They literally
are. Right. You probably had one of these, but it was just black and white, wasn't it?
Wait, they had black and white?
We
didn't have
anything.
No, one extra.
No, you're right. Black and white.
All right, and I will turn it over to Nick. The floor is yours.
Good evening. I'm honored to be here today speaking to you on my favorite topic, SCF athletics. For me here, we have a few of our athletes. We have men's basketball, beach volleyball, softball, and baseball, and a couple of them are going to share their stories today. So I'm going to start with you, Connor.
Absolutely. Hey, my name is Connor Holtz. I'm a third-year college athlete. I previously played 2 years of baseball at Jacksonville University, and, you know, things just don't work out sometimes. Injuries happen, and sometimes you just don't get the playing time you want to, and I chose to leave that school, and then when I was offered to come here by Coach Hill, I came on my visit and was blown away by the facilities and all that. So he took me in with open arms, and ever since I've been here, I've been given the opportunities to go play at another school, so can't complain right there, and I'm very happy to be here.
Hey, I'm Chantel Shore. I'm an infielder here at the SCF softball team. So I also played at a college before coming here. And after talking to someone who committed here and talking with the coaches and coming on my visit as well, I realized that this place felt like home for me. I'm also out of state, so the coaches emphasize how well they are with working with us with academics and on the field, so on and off, and really just made me feel like home, and I absolutely love it here after being here for 2 years.
Thank you. They didn't get the
I'm still 1-2.
My name is Nick Cicello, and I am the interim athletic director here at the State College of Florida. I have a very interesting story about how I ended up here. Originally, it was not my intention to work in athletic administration. I came from the professional baseball ranks. I last served as an associate scout for the Toronto Blue Jays. My first, and believe it or not, yes, my first scouting assignment was an SCF game. State College of Florida versus Hillsborough. On the mound that day was Jackson Tetreault, who was drafted by the Washington Nationals. I was so blown away by the amount of talent that was on SCF roster and the way that this program was run. I could not believe that this was a National Junior College athletic program. We have the talent level to compete NCAA or Division II or even a Division I level. We're that good. And I decided right away that I had to get involved. So within a couple of weeks, I was working with then athletic director Matt Ennis, and I was by his side for about a year and a half. And then I went on to Palm Beach State College, where I've been there for the last 4 years. And then I always wanted to come back here. I thought if there was ever an opportunity, I would come back. And sure enough, that opportunity came, and here I am standing before you all today. So I'm honored to be here, and let's get on with it. Breaking down our athletes here, we have pretty much all of our sports are in season or have already completed. So 5 out of the 6 teams are in season right now. These rosters, for the most part, are final. Baseball is the only one that may add 1 or 2 more. But for the most part, everything's going to be, from this point forward, what you see here. We have 98 total athletes, 91 of which are full-time enrolled, and 60 of which are first-time in college. I wanted to mention this as well. Baseball also allows 20 to 30 additional players in the fall to come in and compete for a roster spot for the spring semester, which is great because those bring in full-time enrolled paying students. They are not on scholarship, and they come in and pay for the opportunity to compete for a spot. We also have 11 international athletes, which it ranges from the Dominican Republic to Europe. Every year we have quite an influx of students that come from other countries, and their families get quite involved, and they know Florida, and they know the State College of Florida. They don't know much else outside of that. So we're happy to have them here. They are a great asset to our program. Just recapping here, we did get our baseball and softball hitting facilities done this year. I know that was board approved, so thank you all for that. As you can see, very state of the art. We have a logo going on the outside. I didn't have any updated photos, so this was during construction, so I apologize for that. But as you drive by, you get to see the SCF logo. It really makes everything pop over at our field. We have major league players that are using our facility. We're able to rent it out and potentially add additional revenue there. State-of-the-art lights, fans, a couple of hitting tunnels there, and our pitchers are able to go in and throw a bullpen. So we feel that this really gives us an opportunity to compete at a higher level, bring in some higher-level recruits that expect this type of facility. And then as I was going through my research here, I wanted to point out some of the transfers that these are transfers that are coming to our program. And these big names up here, University of Alabama, Vanderbilt University, University of Southern Florida, Florida State, all different athletes that are coming to our program. They want to come to our program because we are that good, and they help get them to a four-year level and get better scholarships opportunities. And I just thought that if that doesn't speak to how well that our program is perceived, then what else does? GPAs, we had a great fall semester. Five out of the six teams had a 3.0 GPA or above. Basketball finished with a 2.95, which is phenomenal. Typically, basketball across the state and across the region tends to fall a little bit below that. And they're quite a bit above the benchmark. So props to them and to all the other teams. They did a phenomenal job. 67 total athletes had a 3.0 GPA or above. So as you remember, we had 91 athletes, 67 of which had a 3.0. 13 of them had a perfect 4.0 GPA last semester. So we're looking at academic awards for the upcoming year if things continue, but overall, a great job. Now moving into the teams, we're going to start with beach volleyball here. Beach volleyball is in their first year as a varsity recognized sport within the NJCAA. There will be a championship this year for the first time, which will be held in Tavares, Florida. Last year, however, we were able to go to the ABCA Small College Championship, and we won. We expect that to continue. We think we have one of the better beach programs in the entire country, so we're looking at potentially a national championship. But I wanted to highlight this, as they did a phenomenal job last year. And by the way, small college, we're talking about going up against NCAA programs. We beat them as well. We also had a pairs championship. So we have Anna Broadhead and Yeva Sir Duke. Yeva is coming back to our beach team this year. They were voted the number one pair at the ABCA two-year college championship pairs tournament. We're also at the cutting edge of growth when it comes to beach volleyball. So we know about baseball, we know about their tradition, but historically we haven't had a women's sport that has been in the national championship conversation year in and year out. And we were one of the first teams to adopt beach volleyball when it was declared. As you can see, over a 10-year period, it's gone from 15 teams collegiately to 173 teams, and we're one of the 17 listed in green there. We really feel that beach volleyball is going to take us to another level, and we're excited to have such a great team and a great group of people here representing this college. Going into indoor court volleyball, they saw significant improvement in year one in their transition to Division II. They qualified for the state tournament for the first time in 5 years and also had their best record since the 2014 and 2015 season. Kendall Steiner, who recently transferred onto a four-year opportunity because of her performance here, was named to the All-Region team and was first-team All-Conference. Haley Rhodes and Isabella Rabimbas named to the second-team All-Conference, and Haley Rhodes was also named to the All-Tournament team. Baseball currently ranks number 5 in the state. We're earning votes for the top 25. We did beat number 3 and number 4 ranked in the state this past weekend, and we're anticipating possibly moving into the top 25 for the first time this year. Special news, Michael Corrett threw a no-hitter this weekend in his first start as a Manatee. This is the first no-hitter here in over 30 years, and we're anticipating he's probably going to get national recognition. I didn't have it updated today, but he did win State Pitcher of the Week for this. So really exciting stuff. Last year they ended with a 29-25 record. Taden Hall and Brandon Fields were named second team All-State. Taden Hall, Brandon Fields, Owen Ayers, first team All-Conference. Kevin Carstetter, Harrison Long, Miguel Lariel, and Kyle Harbison were named second team All-Conference. And this was a really special event that we had this past weekend at Cool Today Field, which is the spring training facility of the Atlanta Braves. We played a junior college tournament there, four different teams there, some of the best in the state of Florida, and arguably some of the best in the entire nation. As you can see, really great exposure for the college. Our logo and name were plastered everywhere. It was all over social media. And we're hoping to expand that into additional teams starting next year. Major League debuts, Jackson Tetreault, who I mentioned previously, made his debut this year with the Washington Nationals, and Brendan Little, who was drafted in the first round by the Chicago Cubs, also made the big league debuts. Both were drafted in 2017. And Taden Hall, who was our starting catcher last year, was drafted in the ninth round by the Milwaukee Brewers. Moving into men's basketball, for this year they have a 13-8 record, which is second in the Southern Conference. We're ranked ninth in the state polls, although today we were moved up to eighth. Skylar Wicks earned Player of the Week honors during the week of Thanksgiving. He scored 30 points in the second half in a come-from-behind victory against Georgia Highlands. We successfully hosted a Thanksgiving Georgia versus Florida tournament in which we included a little bit of a different aspect in there. We had a turkey drive for needy families in the areas. I was told it was a donation of $1,000 that the team was able to disperse. And we're currently in a position for postseason play. We're going to be one game out of first tomorrow. If you all are available, we're hosting a game here against Florida Southwestern at 7 o'clock. So should be a really good time. Softball just started 2023 play. They are 2-2. However, they won their last two games by a combined score of 21-1. They finished with a 25-25 record, although they lost their nine last games, which kind of distorted that record a little bit. But reason for optimism, top three hitters returned for this season. Maya Achenbach was one of those top three hitters, led the team to 3.48 average. She'll be back. She was also named to the 2022 All-Conference team. Olivia Seibert and Tori Copeland were named to the second team All-Conference. They'll be back as well. Michaela DeSantis, Gracie Mullet, and Remy Hubert were named to the honorable mention team. Tennis will officially start play today. They are actually out on the tennis courts right now. They're anchored by returner Sakurako Suzuki, who was the number 5 singles champion and the number 2 doubles runner-up. We qualified for 6th in the national tournament. We went to Arizona to compete against some of the nation's best. We earned the 2021-22 Female Academic Team of the Year, small roster with a 3.417 GPA, continuing our tradition of strong academic performance. Coach Corey Murphy was named Wilson ITA Region 4 Coach of the Year. We also had our most improved sophomore, Lou DeFritas Bonet. And we also earned an award for our community service, which is a big part of our program, and I wanted to mention that as well. Goals and aspirations as a department. So we want to engage the community a bit more. We want to form partnerships with local schools, bring them on campus, and also go to them as well. And that kind of, we're going to start them out young. And part of the reason that we're doing that is to enhance our pipeline, but also bring in paying students for this school as well. And one of the ways we think we could do that is through team camps. It's a very great moneymaker, not only for us, but for the school as well. And it gets big time exposure. So that's something that we're looking to do. Increase retention in athletics. We have a lot of athletes that want to be here, but they also get great opportunities to go elsewhere. So we need to find a different avenue to keep them to stay and keep them, you know, progressing towards their two-year degrees. We want completers. We know that rewards us and rewards the school. So that's something that is going to be a focus for me. Increased presence on campus, and this is going to go to all three campuses. I don't want to just do Bradenton. We need to have a bigger presence here. There's no doubt. I think we have one of the terms that I hear a lot about SCF athletics is that it's a hidden gem. I don't want it to be hidden. I want it to be out there. I want you all to know about it, and I'm going to shove it down your throat. I want to engage the faculty a bit more. So we've already started that with our athletic committee. We have I believe a few of them are here today. Dr. Travis, he's on our committee here, and he's a great asset to us. They've also challenged each other to be able to come to our games and support our athletes, which is a really big help. And I enjoyed really seeing them in the stands and interacting with our athletes. It's tremendous. So that's something that we want to do a little bit more, have a little bit more pride in our school and our athletic program. I want to overhaul fundraising, and I want to partner with the SCF Foundation. I believe that we can't do it alone, and Cassandra's been a great resource so far. We're going to put athletics first, so no longer are we just going to go in there and have it be team-based. We want to do it as a whole. We're going to come to you in groups. We're going to come to you in numbers. That's the way that I see it, and I think we're better if we're all working together towards the same goal. We're going to focus on annual giving programs. So no longer are we going to have a one-off $500 donation. We're going to have a recurring $500 donation every year. That's something that hasn't been happening. I can guarantee you we'll rake in big dollars if we could do that. One of the things that I would love to do, a large athletics golf tournament, maybe a silent auction involved, and an overhaul of Hall of Fame. We have a lot of people that have been in our program that, frankly, nobody knows about. And I want to make sure that not only are they known about, but that we take the time to recognize the contributions that they've given to our program. And then, this is kind of more of a want for me. I want to rebrand SCF Athletics. You know, I view it as a new era for me coming in and new potential. And then we're going to prioritize the needs to enhance the overall student-athlete experience. And what does that look like? Well, it's going to vary from team to team, but I think, upgraded equipment, something that we could fundraise for to make sure that we give them the opportunities that they deserve and the things that they're expecting when they come here. That's all I got for you.
Great.
Mr. Chairman, is it possible, I don't know if the other two students that were up there had something they wanted to share. If they do and we could hear their stories, I'd love it. If they're not prepared, I don't want to put them on the spot or even look at them.
All right, so our other two, Nate, where you're from, why did you come? Do you want to share that with us? Go ahead, stand up, if you're willing.
Yeah, my name is Kobe Haraway. I was born and raised in Seattle, Washington. I've lived here since 2015. I graduated during the pandemic in 2020, and that kind of messed things up for me, recruiting-wise with basketball. And State College of Florida ended up being the only place that really gave me a chance. So I ended up taking the opportunity, and they brought me in. So that's why I'm here.
Okay, that's awesome.
Hi, my name is Effie Spurgeon. I'm a sophomore in the beach volleyball team. I'm local to Branson, Florida, and I graduated in 2021, and Christian gave me a chance to go to the team this summer. I graduated.
Thank you. Any other questions for Nick?
Great presentation. Right. Thank you.
Thank you to our student athletes and our coaches and Nick for being here. Appreciate it.
Appreciate your time.
Get a round of applause for the community.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump into some enrollment updates and student services. Want to remind everyone, we were up for enrollment in the fall. You can see the percentages, 101.1 for our student count and our total load hours, our credit hours. So that was a win. That's what we were going for, is to increase our enrollment in the fall semester. Some of the highlights I want to include are our Disability Resource Center. We did have an increase, 1,398 total accommodations that did go up from fall 2021. And I just wanted to point out some of our the primary disabilities that come through the Dean of Students Office under our Disability Resource Center, and the types of requests that also come through that space. We also are really excited to partner with Community Foundation of Sarasota. We have a grant that focuses on reading, and one of the things that you will notice reading disorders and dyslexia. So we have some additional community support and funding to create avenues of success for our students. Financial aid, I really want to hit home with this. When it comes to recruitment and retention, it's all hands on deck, right? Our financial aid office has been pounding the pavement in our communities. Our staff have been present at our local college access networks. The two we have is Planet Sarasota and Reach Manatee. I would say we are probably the number one go-to for financial aid literacy and understanding. We went to 20 different community events just to emphasize, to work with families, students, counselors in the schools to have more FAFSA completers. In the state of Florida, I think we're ranked 48th for senior FAFSA completions. Those are dollars that our students are unaware they have in order to go to school, that their families are unaware that they have. So I just really want to emphasize, even we spent 4 days with all Southeast high school seniors. That was our State College of Florida staff members there. So while we were helping everyone complete the FAFSA, you can bet we had the logo, we had the stuff, and we were also talking to them about where are they going and what are they doing. Winter graduation, dare I say, a huge success. I am very excited to hear from some of you, but we had our grad walk, which was a non-traditional graduation ceremony where our students and families, they didn't have to have tickets, they showed up, they walked across, they heard their name, received their diploma, went outside the door, had their professional photo, and went and celebrated with their families. One of the outcomes with the grad walk that we received from our feedback, it opened the doors for those who needed accommodations. We had strollers coming through, no issue. We had babies, no issue. Toddlers, no issue. We had wheelchairs, walkers. They had plenty of time to go in, but they weren't stuck, trapped, unsure of seating, to see their grandchild, their niece, their nephew, their mom, their dad walk across. I had one graduate I talked to and I said, can you tell me why the grad walk versus the traditional ceremony that many of you attended? And he said, I work, I wouldn't have been able to come and I didn't have childcare. So I have to go after the grad walk to go pick up my son from school and then I'm heading out to celebrate. And I said, thanks, appreciate that. So. There were many little hidden gems to that opportunity. And then we had our traditional ceremonies. We are doing it all over again here at the Bradenton campus in the spring. But for our board members that were participating in it, thoughts, feedback that you experienced?
Oh, I loved it. I want to do it there again. I want us to keep doing it that way. I mean, I liked every part of it. It was smaller. It was more intimate in the setting. It worked in and out. I loved where we applauded all of them when they were walking out. And I liked all of it.
Right there. That's the tunnel.
Big
well,
fan.
So much more connected to the school, obviously, than doing it remote.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So get ready. Save the date, May 5th. We will do it all over again at the Bradenton campus. About a year ago, I brought to you our strategic enrollment initiative. So I'm not sure if all of you recall it, but we have four initiatives: our high school benchmarks, international students, multicultural, and retention. So I want to provide some highlights for you. One of the things that we did was a deep dive into our high school, our traditional enrollments. So we looked at how many students were coming to State College of Florida and what their graduating class was by high school in our area. And then we looked for pockets of opportunity. Did we see a large growth? Venice, they were gonna have a few more graduates. Can we maintain 19%? Yep, and we exceeded it. So that is the data, the deep dive that we look into with our recruitment efforts. And these were some of our rising stars that you can see. We increased from fall 21 to our fall 22 class. So that was a win. I was really excited for our enrollment services team they watched that dashboard every week to see the numbers fluctuate and change. Our next one was our international students. We have approximately 42 international students. You saw 11 are athletes here. With international student populations, a lot of it's word of mouth and visibility. So one of the things that we did was we joined the Florida Consortium. It's a platform for international students who are looking for places of higher education that support and open the door to international students. We weren't present there. We are now. The other thing is talking about testimonials. We have a wide variety of people right here that we just need to share their stories so that when you're looking and searching for a place to go, you can see, oh, that's amazing. We have faculty members that identify with my current experience. They have an understanding of it. So we have 39 interested faculty and staff from over 25 countries and span over 5 continents. We're going to share their stories, talk about what it's like to be here. Multicultural. This is one that we wanted to really look at events and opportunities, and are they catering to our community as a whole? We are looking at wanting to host multicultural recruitment events to build awareness, establish trust, and move our prospective students towards application and completion and enrollment. One of the things that we realized is most of our events are during the week or in the evening or during the school day. This is the first time we're going to be holding a Sunday afternoon event. Again, just opening up opportunities for our community to engage with us and share what we do here. And then retention. There are 3 goals with retention. I will summarize it by really looking at what are some of the main pockets that we can address to maintain our enrollment growth. We had 100% enrollment. We need to maintain that from fall to fall. So we are working closely with early alerts. When we receive an alert from an instructor, a faculty member, when they send that alert, how are we following up with the student? How are we tracking that data to see if they were successful? Some other things that we recognize, this was one big one for me. A lot of times we have late applicants. So they will apply end of July, beginning of July, beginning of August. Many of our enrollment events have already taken place for those students that applied in October, November, December, January, February. We want to create the same type of experience and not have them be disadvantaged by maybe waiting a little bit longer to apply or changing their mind, right? We see that happen all the time. I want to go to a 4-year, all of a sudden, no, I have a job, I can stay at home, I can save more money, and I can have a high quality education. So they should be able to have the same experiences post July 1st that our other students did who applied in the fall. So we're going to create those opportunities. And then this last one is really looking at, under our new model with caseload management, what are the current benchmarks and how can we ensure success moving forward in our retention efforts. Spring highlights, right now, Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, we're about 2% down in the spring semester. That is, I will say, on the record, really good. We had a hurricane. We had a hurricane that we put a lot of effort and emphasis in to retain those students and have them persist. We are still actively recruiting and building this number because we are in our flex start period. Students still have the opportunity to enroll in 5, 8, 12-week classes. So this number is continuing to fluctuate every single day. Our hope is to get that back up so we're not 2% down, but that's where we are as of today. Some big updates for the spring. We have our counselor breakfast on Thursday. We anticipate over 50 counselors here. They will be going through and learning about our nursing program, our brand new music production programs, education. They'll be working with dual enrollment and early college, having a tour of the campus, and really full exposure of this of us at State College of Florida. A big one, please, if you can, trustees, save the date, nursing open house. This will be the first time we have a specific open house at Lakewood Ranch. I will show a flyer next. But this is really working with our community partners to help reach our goals for more applicants and more of our students going into the nursing program. The other thing I want to just quickly highlight is please note the number of elementary and middle schools that are coming to the State College of Florida. We invite our middle school students, our elementary students, come get exposure. We want to build that relationship with them all the way through so that it's an easy decision to stay with State College of Florida. Here's the event, just a little bit more information. We have been promoting this with our local chambers on social media, and really a true partnership with Enrollment Services and our nursing department, as well as marketing and communication to build this initiative and event. So it'll be 3 to 5 p.m. on the 21st at the Lakewood Ranch campus.
Are these going to be high school kids coming?
Everybody. So we want our partners to come and look at opportunities, but yes, future applicants, most certainly. Some other things too, in speaking about Hurricane Ian, one of the things that we did was we created on-campus registration events at the Venice campus to really advocate to our students, we're here, we're open, you have your support services, we'll see you in the spring, and that really helped to boost our Venice campus numbers, was to have that physical presence there from all of our offices. And then just a few other things that you may see. Again, Flex Start. Again, we're promoting that to add another class to your schedule. Let's think about it. How far are you to your degree? One more class will help. And then, of course, social media. The last thing I want to point out, this has really been a collaborative effort with our community and our business. We have a track for our students to go through towards career development. So you can see all the way through, and it's located at every campus. It's also virtual to every campus. So while it's physically at one, it's also beamed out to the others. Those are the major updates from Student Services and Enrollment Management.
Right. Two things. The first, one of the advantages when I came here many, many moons ago was the flexibility of the schedule, because I was able to work, I go to school in the morning and work in the afternoon, or vice versa. So you talk about advantages. That means that meant a lot to somebody that had to work.
Absolutely.
The second thing is international students. What is the number one problem of getting attracting ourselves to international students? Do you know what you would put your finger on as a situation?
You're not going to like the answer. Housing. It really is. We have a number of students, though, when they can secure some of those locations, that's when we talk about the word of mouth and other things. But housing is probably the largest barrier.
So if we had on-campus housing, that would help.
Is it in my department?
No.
I don't know that we would see, if we even offered on-campus housing, the perceived influx of enrollees from international. It takes some time to establish the programming and support services to really yield the benefits of a major capital project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dr. Nielsen, can you go back to one of your early slides that showed the different high schools and the stats? I think you answered my question, but I'm curious. So 2022 grad class captured, that's the percent of the graduates of each high school, not the college bound?
Correct.
Okay. So clearly the assumption is, my assumption, is that we get more students as an institution than any other institution.
Haven't run the numbers against other institutions, but we are yielding a very high percentage right here indicating.
So with that, do you feel that SCF gets taken for granted with the counselors in the high schools, or is it the opposite where we get outsized welcome? So that's my question.
We really try our best to unload as much work as possible from the high school counselors to be that go-to resource for them, because there are a lot of demands on them. the biggest thing that we can do is work directly with the families and the students.
Okay. And your counselor breakfast, I guess, goes a long way into developing those relationships.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things I was sharing with Trustee Moore is we reach out with a menu of options that our counselors at the beginning of the year can select in-person classroom presentations, FAFSA nights, a multitude of things. We will schedule it out for the entire academic year. We provide the each counselor then with a progress report to say, congratulations, you've had 3 in-class presentations, and we have FAFSA night, and we attended parent-teacher conferences. We also have 50 of your students who have applied to SCF.
Oh, great.
We see an opportunity to maybe host this in the upcoming months. Would you like to schedule that? We're doing that with every single school in our 2 counties.
That's great.
So customize, right? Make it easy.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
Other questions?
Can you email that slideshow? Sure. There's just a handful of slides I'd like to just take a little bit longer to absorb.
You got it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to move on to non-financial consent agenda items. Are there any discussion items that I need to pull from the vote? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
A motion.
Second.
And 2 seconds.
4.
Do we have any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Non-financial consent item passed. We're going to move on to the approval for financial consent agenda item. Are there anything that we need to pull to discuss further? No. So I'll entertain a motion for financial consent agenda items.
I'll move.
A motion?
Second.
And a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? None. That passes as well. So, as normal, Julie has provided us with the project list. It's really just for informational purposes. Page 167. We'll be going over some of what's on that list tonight as well, and we'll move on to Mr. Welkin.
Discuss with you tonight before I jump into that. We have a continuing contract with our architectural engineering firms, Peppermint Architects and WDA, and that continuing contract for design services is up June 30th. So we're going to issue another RFQ. We'll go out, get May together, go through the scoring process, and hopefully be back to the May board to get approval of our top-ranked architects. And Trustee Goodson has been kind enough to agree to serve on that committee, so we're going to get that process going. So we've got the Venice Hurricane Ian repairs, looks for contract approval. This is John Swift at the GMP. We've got a Bradenton and Venice campuses hurricane repairs, again, the GMP. That will be tandem. We've got our college-wide elevator upgrades, another construction contract approval, college-wide restroom remodel, and adding push-button ADA door operators to our game restrooms. That's a construction contract approval. And then our Bradenton, the 26 West EDC office suite. I did talk about the budget increase at the last meeting, with the budget approval increase and the GMP construction contract. On page 168 of your board packet, you'll find my board memo regarding the in response to the Hurricane Ian damages at the Venice campus. We requested John Swift Construction obtain competitive subcontractor pricing to address the damages, and we're utilizing John Swift's continuing contract that we've got with them. Repairs are on 9 buildings, includes roofing, lightning protection, windows, doors, flooring, fencing, lighting. sod and irrigation. We evaluated John Swift's subcontractor cost for general conditions over hidden profit, and we found that the pricing to be fair and reasonable. And requesting board approval of the contract with John Swift for $354,020. And our funding source will be, we're going to use our fund balance and then get reimbursed either through FEMA or through our insurance claim.
Can you give us an update on the insurance claim? Where do we stand?
So we have filed our insurance claims for all of the 82 projects that we had for repair. We've met with the insurance company several times. They sent us a $500,000 check in December. They've reimbursed us another $10,000 since then. Also, we met with FEMA again recently. We are filing with them for debris cleanup and preparation. Things like the free food we provided for them will cover. So we're working with both insurance and FEMA very closely. It's important.
Yeah. How much money have we? How much money has been sent by FEMA?
By FEMA, none at this point.
None.
We just started with them a couple of weeks ago.
I guess I'm just trying to understand what the likelihood is of this entire cost being reimbursed.
100%.
It is 100%. Okay.
Either by FEMA or by insurance. An interesting thing that the FEMA folks told us when they were here is that the governor has emphasized not only mitigation and repairs, but future service. So we're going back and looking at the repairs that we've already made to see if there are ways to improve those on our buildings using the federal funds.
The collection of the $510,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
sir.
That came in from insurance?
Yes.
That's from insurance?
Yes.
And so nothing from FEMA?
Nothing from FEMA yet, but again, just started that process.
So if we, you know, if we're looking at a total of $800,000-something in just a couple projects, even though we've only had $510,000 to fund it, you're secure in the fact that it's going to cover, the FEMA
yes.
will cover.
Yes.
Is one of them primary? Like, will one offset the other?
We are selective in how we're filing claims with each of them. FEMA only covers a limited amount, and it is actually things like debris cleanup that we did early on, and again, the governor's proposal for mitigation for future claims, and the rest of it's insurance.
Okay. This may be just a question for Chris, because earlier we met, I'm still learning the processes of how Chris goes through his job. But
20 minutes, let me know.
2 days? Can you chat in 2 days? Just curious, though, because when we talk about these cost-covered things, we talked about other bids, formal bids and things like that. Do we know these are final numbers from them, that this all is going to cost?
So it's a guaranteed maximum price, so they have gone out and they got subcontractor bidding on all the divisions of scope. There might be one or two items that has an allowance in there, but it will not exceed that amount.
Yeah. Okay.
We had the discussion first, this main discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for adoption.
Thank you. I have a first and a second, all in favor.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes.
All right, I'm going to sound like a broken record. So page 169 of your board packet, you'll find this memo. Again, in response to Hurricane Ian damages at the Bradenton campus primarily, and the Venice campus, I've got the major marquee repairs included in the scope. Request a tandem construction to obtain competitive subcontractor pricing to adjust the damages. We're utilizing tandem's continuing contract with the college. And repairs include the marquees at Bradenton and Venice, buildings 14, 17, 23, the baseball field, softball field, tennis courts. We evaluated tandem subcontractor costs, general conditions, overhead and profit, and the pricing is found to be fair and reasonable. Requesting board approval to contract for tandem construction for $413,709.19. And again, the funding source is the fund balance to be reimbursed by FEMA for our insurance claim.
I move approval.
Second.
Any further discussion? I have first and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, page 170. College-wide elevator upgrades, this is contract approval. The board previously approved this project. We're utilizing Willis Smith Construction's continuing contract. This project is part of the state deferred maintenance funds, the $8.2 million that we received. We're modernizing 7 elevators, including the mechanical systems and the electronic controls. This is buildings 1, 7, 8, 26, and 300. There's 2 elevators in building 1 and 2 elevators in building 8. It's incredible opportunity for us to be able to get these elevators. Will Smith advertised and obtained competitive subcontractor bids per Florida statute. Their general condition subcontractor costs, overhead, and profit were evaluated and found to be fair and reasonable. Requesting board approval of the contract with Will Smith for $938,434, and this amount is within our $1,040,000 budget.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion?
Just a really quick question. Are we upgrading them or are we replacing them, or is that not really a difference?
They call it modernization. Uh-huh. And it's basically going at all the mechanical systems, hydraulics, the pumps, and all the elevator components. And upgrading all the analog controls to electronic controls, which goes in the interlock safeties into the doors, which was, I think I had mentioned, is a requirement by December 31 in the elevator installed before 2000, has to have this new door interlock system. So we're doing a modernization which rolls in this interlock system, so we're a win-win there for us.
Any further discussion? I have a first and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Page 171, restroom upgrades and ADA door operators. This is contract approval. So the board previously approved this project. We're utilizing Half Acre Construction for continuing contract, and trustee Moy, you see we're spreading these projects between our 4 CMs as best we can. Half Acre advertising obtained competitive subcontractor bids per Florida statute. The general condition subcontractor costs and overhead profit were evaluated and found to be fair and reasonable. Requesting board approval of the contract with Half Acre Construction for $808,519. This is within our $910,000 budget.
I move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? I don't have discussion, but I do want to commend you on the list on this one and the previous one, and bringing them under budget. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, last is our 26 West Center EDC office suite budget and contract approval, page 172 of your board packet. The board previously approved this project in a $250,000 budget. We're utilizing Will Smith Construction's continuing contract and Will Smith advertised, and they did obtain competitive subcontractor bids per Florida statute. General condition subcontractor costs and overhead profit, we've evaluated it and found it to be fair and reasonable. Requesting board approval to contract with Will Smith for $216,398. The entire project budget includes the architectural engineering fees at just over $15,000, the movable wall systems, which you all approved, for $79,000, and then the furniture, which is just under $29,000. So along with the CNs, general construction, plus those items, we got a total project budget of $343,000. So I'm requesting board approval to increase the budget by $93,000, which we talked about last month, from the $250,000 to the $343,000. And the increase in budget is because of labor and material escalation. And we do have adequate fund balance to cover the budget increase.
Did you give them PO knowing that this
was
going
to happen?
I did.
Yeah. I entertain a motion first. I have a motion and a second.
Second.
Do we have any discussion?
I know we've discussed this before, but if you could just refresh our memories. On the timeline, the revenue from the EDC and the grant that's helping cover it.
So there was furniture and equipment expenses in the Department of Economic Opportunity grant that we got, the $3.6 million.
Okay.
So the remainder of that will cover the movable wall system and the furniture. We had money set aside for that. Yep. And then the revenue will start as soon as they occupy the space. And so we'll be, they've signed a 4-year contract for that space. So the revenues that we will gather from that will work to pay back the fund balance that we're using for the initial.
But what's the estimated completion in the end date?
We are end of March, April 1st. Okay. EDC is with us now in some alternative space that we've sort of put together for them, but they'll move into that final space, sounds like April 1st.
So I just want to make sure everyone recognizes that we will be paying back the fund balance with the money. So, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? A motion carried.
Thank you.
We're going to have Dr. Steve Crowley is going to give us some information on that.
Not a doctor.
Yeah, I know.
Steve Crowley. Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Crowley is going to give us some information on the synopsis of the pending rule revision.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second? So I needed two motions. One was for the budget increase.
Okay.
And then the other was for the construction contract approval.
Mm-hmm. All right,
motion
so
we're budget increase.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I move contract approval.
Second.
We have first and second. That motion carries.
And I move the contract approval.
Oh, we're going to do them separate. I have a motion. That one was the
budget.
The budget increase.
And then okay. The contract approval. I have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That one carries as well. Sorry. Mr. Crowley.
I liked Dr. Crowley. My mother was so proud. My mother was so proud there for
me. I gave it to you and took it away.
Honor of all. Okay. This is a proposed rule revision. It's here for first view only. Not acting on it until next month. It follows up on comments at the last board meeting and takes contract approval authority for the president up to Category 5 of Section 287.17, which is $325,000. This brings us in line with the wide majority of the other 28. I actually could only find 23 of the 28's rule on this. The others are on intranets or buried somewhere. But 20 of the 23 I found were at this level. Only two, in addition to us, were at a lower level. The other two who weren't at Category 5 were also higher than we are. So it's here for first view action next month. It is written in a way that it mimics the state rule. And I'm happy to entertain questions.
Is there a reason why we can't put the dollar amount in there? I mean, I get that it's supposed to be mirroring the state, but if we put the dollar amount in there, doesn't that give us a little bit more control in case the wind changes in Tallahassee to change the number of the Pat 5?
So the numbers actually have only changed twice since 1998, so I don't think it's imminent that the number would change. The only risk I see, Taylor, in putting the number in would be if the legislature lowered the categories so that we, you know, if we said 325 and they lowered it to 300,
right, we would
have, well, then we would be authorized above what the statute says. As long as they went up, us putting the number in wouldn't be a problem. But if they were to go down, then we'd be authorized above what the statute provides. And there's risk again. Of the ones I saw, the vast majority of them follow the wording of the state rule and just recite the reference to the statute. It's not a, it's at your pleasure, but I only see risk if you were to state the number if the legislature were to lower the threshold.
How often are we allowed to change this? And because I see the history dates here, they're pretty wide-ranging. Are we allowed to change it at our discretion as
yes.
well?
Yes, oh, absolutely, just like any other rule. And I didn't go back to see what those other changes were, to be frank, but it's entirely possible they were, you know, missed here. Thanks.
I have a couple of other questions. First of all, I was just curious if anyone knows the history of our cap, why it's so low. And secondly, I'm struggling to understand where we fall. There is a higher cap that some schools are using, correct?
No, there's not a higher cap.
Category 5 is the most.
Category 5 is the top, yes.
And why would we choose to go with the top instead of somewhere in the middle of 65 and 300 and something?
On the 100 is the cap for around 100,000.
It's, I believe, cap 4 is 195. The history of why the college's level is where it is that prior to President Probstfeld's administration, the board felt that they wanted to rein in what the cap was then at. I think Dr. P, Julie, have been here for, well, almost as long as me. And I think they, you know, they have a different relationship with the board than Dr. P's predecessor did.
And then my other question about how do we land on the highest category?
It's at the board's discretion, certainly. I can only state that almost all of the other 28 colleges are also at that 325 level. I think I think time has changed. You can see that they don't act on the statute very often. So that 325 that it's at, you know, in 2010, the last time they changed it, 325 then bought you a lot more than it does now.
So if I could jump in, I mean, the original reason why I brought this up about moving this up was because I thought 65 was absurdly low, but also it suggested that we didn't trust staff at all without our constant oversight. And that might have been the case previously, long before most anybody at this table. But it's not the case now, I think, for this board. And I'm perfectly comfortable with this level, knowing that if there's an incident, we can change our rule. And we can always change our rule again. We have that authority. But I'm comfortable in trusting that the people that we have on staff be making decisions under 325 without being corrupt. Without our oversight. I mean, I just felt like the 65 was almost insulting when I found out that's what it was. So I'm comfortable with this level. If the board wants to go to an interim one, that's fine, but I don't have a problem with this one.
I don't either. I just okay. wanted to know the backstory and the rationale for where they're
going. Do we need a motion? Or is this just
no, it's right just, for, just for your information tonight. It will be back next month.
With inflation, will be 335.
There's no escalator in that legislation.
With that, I think we're going to move on to the midterm goals report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have it before you at your place. This is just sort of a pulse of where we were as of December 30th. We're looking at the goals that we're working on for this year. You'll see we've made good progress on some, and we're getting close to meeting the goals that we've set. First goal, we're at 79% of the goal. Our second goal, we have been able to demonstrate considerable improvement. Julie and our staff got on this right away, and so we have achieved that goal, and we are turning around our our ability to get people hired much, much more effectively now. The next item, I won't go through all of them, you can see where we are on some of them, but the one that I wanted to point out is number five, the goal on the geo-targeting. We had a lot of things happening in South County this year, but we did spend a lot of money on geo-targeting males, in particular programs that are largely subscribed more by men and women. And unfortunately, we haven't seen an increase. We've actually seen a little bit of decrease from where we were last year at this time. So we're gonna keep pushing through the rest of this semester to see where we land. But the frustration is that geotargeting is a very expensive way to try and reach out for recruitment and enrollment purposes. So we may be shifting our tactics to something a little bit different in the future. We're not taking our eyes off the ball, but men are a niche that we need to continue to focus on, but maybe that tool might not have been most effective. I'm happy to answer any questions. Number seven, the foundation has been incredible, as they always are. They have met that goal, have raised the money for our lab capital project in South County. So thank you very much, Cassandra, and all members of the foundation for making that happen. Happy to answer any questions.
Question, geo-targeting men in a certain area, what does that really entail? What does that mean?
Well, I'm going to ask Mr. Jamie, can you speak to geo-targeting?
Sure. So we identified specific geographic regions, and then what we did is we catered our ads to serve to the males more predominantly. Unfortunately, what that means is it's just more competitive bias because we're specifically targeting the audience, not only by gender, but also by geographic regions. The more expensive it starts to become. So that's what we did, and we did it via several different avenues. And digitally, it's just the cost is going up. And again, as you continue to target and weed down your audience, you just like the curve, like kind of that EIP, you want them, you're going to pay for it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Seeing no other questions, I'll move on to old business. Does anybody have any old business? No old business? Does anybody have any new business? No old business, no new business. Ms. Carter, do you have any board comments?
We went through our exit review for the financials, and it was a huge success. And congratulations to Julie and Lars and their staff and
the team.
Yes, it's great. It's great. They're very. There were no issues whatsoever with our financials. So I think we're good on the 325. There's a lot of checks and balances, so I think we're good.
My turn. Couple things. I noticed in our packet was the foundation's audit. Do I have, as a trustee, a fiduciary responsibility to the foundation, or is that just for informational purposes?
That's for informational purposes. The foundation has their own board of directors.
And part of it's also a component of the fact that the foundation is a direct support organization of the college. So your fiduciary duty doesn't extend to it in that regard. Other than to, your fiduciary duty to the college is to make sure that the foundation board is dotting their I's and crossing their T's.
I'm not sure that helped me out.
Yeah, sounds like we do.
That entity,
okay.
Your fiduciary duty to the college is to assure that you're getting the reports that you're required to get and they're up to snuff. Better way to put
Thank
it.
You.
But no, you don't have a duty to that entity in and of itself.
Thank you. Briefly, for Mike and Ryan and Taylor, about a year and a half ago, Chris changed the way we were handling our construction. And it was by far for the good. We got a construction management instead of hard bids. It was a hard sell, but we would never be where we are in construction right now if we hadn't done that. There's
no way, Chris, to put all these things together in such a short period of time. Number one. Number two, no way we'd ever have the cost controls built in that we have now. Because what we are doing now is controlling the price coming out the back side instead of letting that, the traditional way of letting the architect decide what he wants, and then it goes to bid, and then we have to go through some sort of revision prices, pricing to get it down to our budget area. So we're able to control all the way along. So we have some of the finest contractors in both counties that work for us on a rotating basis, and we're getting a better product at a much cheaper price. And a lot more of them. We would never be where we are right now if it wasn't for the way we changed the way we do things. But I wanted to make that clear because you guys weren't on board back when we did all that. Another thing I'd like to say is on the 17th, Carol and her team put on a appreciation for the foundations, the hospitals, and the private practices that have put money together to help us reach our goal of over $500,000 to be matched by the state for our nursing program out at the Lakewood Ranch Nursing Facilities. She did a fantastic job. Very professional. The television cameras were there. I think they were on the news that night, many of them that did interviews. And it really is going to do a lot for us trying to get that money recurring, which we need to do. So my kudos to you and your staff. It was a great presentation. I was happy to be part of it. Last thing is, this is a fantastic report on the athletic programs at this college. This is an unbelievably good. The academics, the winning, I mean, it's something to be very proud of. And I'd like to throw something out there. I don't want to get into discussion. It's getting late, but think about this. I would like to have a trustees night at, let's say, the opening baseball game, or opening basketball game, or both. Or we could divide up and somebody do basketball and volleyball, somebody do a baseball and softball, something like that. Where we, I think it'd be nice, number one, to be able to sit there and say on trustees night, shake some hands and say thank you, but that the teams know that we're supported. We can't go to all the games, obviously. And it's tough enough just getting here once a month. But I would think that that would be something to show our support for these teams, especially when they're putting out a product like they are. And that young man in interim, I'm not sure he's going to be interim very long. He's quite talented. So that's my suggestion. We'll take it for wherever you want.
And we're absolutely happy to do that, if that's the pleasure of the board. We have done those things in the past. We've been to, I think, baseball games in the past. We've been to basketball games in the past. And we're absolutely happy to do that. We'd love to see you all there. A lot of fun.
I'm not sure why Mark brought up the CM, but I would say that having gone through those discussions, I was part of that. I am not construction savvy at all, and so it took me a long time to understand all the benefits and all and our responsibility for it. So if any of you are like me and need, you know, sit down with one of Chris or somebody to get a full explanation if you need it. You might already understand it. I just throw it out there that it took me a while. The other thing I'd say is that this morning's event with the governor, I love that he chose us. Obviously, our proximity to New College and everything going on there didn't hurt anything. But clearly, we're doing a lot of things right here, and I think it's recognized that we are. And that's, you know, a little tiny bit trustee and almost all staff. On that point, I've been around with the governor a few other places, and I've been on a few presidential ones over the years with media, and that really was smooth. And that was really smooth from state security point of view, our security point of view, which means that our people know what they're doing. And it was really nice to see the whole thing go off so smoothly, and it was fun to attend. And so I just want to give a little kudos to all the staff that was involved. I don't know who it all is, but I know there's always people behind the scenes making stuff happen. That, you know, some of us get up to sit up there and look great, but we're not really doing anything. We're just, you know, other people are making it happen, and I just wanted to shine a little light there.
I agree, it's a real feather in our cap that they chose to hold that press conference here, and I assume that Jamie's department had something to do with that. Cassandra probably had something to do with that, or the security folks.
Security people.
Thank you to everyone. And I know that we are constantly pounding away on enrollment, and it's hard. But I'm very impressed with Dr. Nielsen and her department and the way you're going about it. You're really digging into all the nuances of it, which is difficult. And just seeing what you've done with the high schools alone is really impressive. And I have every confidence that that we're doing as much as any Florida college can possibly do, and I'm proud of it.
Agreed. Real quick, as I'm also serve as the liaison. I'm looking at you two because you're there. to the foundation. So I serve on the foundation board as well. And Mark, just to your point, it's a good question, you know, about fiduciary responsibility, yes or no. But I will say that there is an audit committee, much like here, that there's an independent auditor. It's annual. And then we just had it recently, but the auditor comes and personally gives a meeting or gives a presentation. This last time it was on the phone. But during that, Cassandra and all the staff members end up leaving so that the foundation board members can feel free to ask any questions. So I'm very confident that in that process that they're vetting everything out.
I have no problems at all. I just wanted to know if I had a fiduciary responsibility because I'm not watching them. I know now I don't, so that's all I care
about. We invite you to come to the foundation.
Well, you're doing a good job, though. You're doing a great job.
Three quick things. Fundraising. So the foundation has a different fiscal year. It starts October 1. So we're basically, Cassandra and team is 4 months into it. The budget for fundraising is $834,000. Her team has raised just shy of $1.3 million. So
that's
good. And then two events coming up here on this campus, the 18th of February, Avenues to the Future. Tickets are available. There's a number of trustees that have already signed up to go, but please reach out to Cassandra and team if you can go. There's individual tickets, so it doesn't have to be a table sponsor, so that's great. And then also Saturday, April 15th, the always fun Evening Under the Stars on the Venice campus. And again, you know, there's it's the SCF Venice, it's at the Venice campus. It's the Pops Orchestra. $150 tickets are obviously your sponsorships available too. But if you haven't been to that, that's a ball of fun.
What's the date of that?
That is April 15th, Saturday, April 15th. Guaranteed not to rain. Though it does dodge it most years.
Because of what Trustee Goodson said about athletics, tomorrow night at 7, if anybody wants to come, our basketball team is playing Florida Southwestern. If anybody knows anything about NJCAA basketball, very, very, very good program. And they could use a sport if you want to come out. Very good, and they had some exciting games. A couple of weeks ago, they beat Miami-Dade in a game that came back with 17 points with 13 minutes left.
Wow.
And won the game within the minute. So if you have a chance, it's home tomorrow night at 7, Florida Southwestern, in a big game.
I'd be here if I could. I want to make a point to come to someone. Thank you for coming.
Well, ditto. Since everybody knows I'm athletics, it was very much an honor to have Nick, our interim AD, and kudos to staff for bringing. I've met with Nick. I think he's a terrific pick. I think his energy and passion is perfect for what our energy is here at State College of Florida. And I did go to the opening weekend for the baseball tournament we had this weekend, and the place was crawling. We had a really good crowd, and we had probably 30 to 35 Major League Scouts.
Wow.
And attendance.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a big night for us. So I've been to the event. You know, I want to get to see basketball. I've been to basketball game forever, so
yeah.
Coach Parks, I'm coming. But I also want to say, too, you know, Nick is you know, doing a great job so far as he's been here, but I also want to give props to staff for hiring great coaches. A lot of times the coaches don't get enough credit for leading these kids to a higher GPA, to, hey, get to class, hey, do your homework. Hey, you know, be an outstanding citizen. And so these coaches, in my opinion, have an opportunity. If you ever get an opportunity to talk to them on the campus, do so. They have a great passion for our excellence here at State College of Florida. And as a former athletic alumni, I'm proud of every coach that we have here. I think they fit our mold perfectly in our stable. So I just want to say appreciate the comments and kudos to everybody. Chris, forgive me. I know, just be patient with me. I'm driving him crazy trying to learn this stuff, but I'm going to get there. In fact, we should go on a retreat. Have a great time. So anyway.
The whole week.
So anyway, and also I just want to add one more thing. As and you know, as a newbie, I'm getting the opportunity to meet some of the staff before these meetings. Susan has done a great job of making me go different places, and it's been awesome. And by the way, Susan's great. By the way, I love Susan. Thank you for always reminding me of things. But the one thing I offered, you know, Dr. Nielsen and Chris is, you know, as a trustee, you know, I feel like we're an ambassador for everything under the sun here at State College of Florida. And I know we go to Under Stars events and we do graduation stuff like that. But if Dr. Nielsen, if you have an event off campus and you want me to come talk, or if you want me to make a presence, to shake hands and kiss babies, I'll do it. And I just want to put myself out there for any of the department heads out there that, you know, if you have an opportunity for...
I know.
Besides asking for money, I'm just kidding. I know. But I'm just saying, I want to be at your fingertips. I want to be at your, you know, whatever. So it's great to just come to a board meeting once a month and do company business, but I'm like Trustee Mark. I want to be out and about. If time allows, I want to be out and about.
I left my business card.
I saw that. I have 20 of them.
Thank you.
I love being last because pretty much everything that's been said around the table is exactly my sentiment as well. I do want to apologize for missing so much in December just because of a little bit of COVID. Sounds like y'all held down the fort just fine without me.
We missed you.
But thank you for bringing in the athletes. I think that was such a tremendous report. Very, very cool. To be able to meet them and hear their stories as well. So,
so I have two comments. Chris, CM is more than just a CM. Your relationship that you built with companies that are CMs, we would never have gotten through a hurricane the way we're getting through and gotten through those contracts if we didn't have those relationships. So it goes deeper than just having a CM contract. It's your relationship. Up under that goes very far. And I had a chance to be here this morning as well with some exciting news from the governor, but I honestly don't believe if Dr. Profeld and her staff didn't do what they do every day, he could have gone anywhere with that presentation this morning. Mm-hmm. So privileged to see you shine in the big screen. Maybe some of the comments weren't exactly the way you would want them to be. I would rather that the $15 million was coming to State College of Florida and not going somewhere else. So we'll have to maybe some more of that. But you've done a great job of making sure that you put the school and your staff on the map, and I'm privileged to be here with you. So with that, I think we're done enough board comments and updates, and I think motion to adjourn.
Motion.